Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message, brought to you by Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous messages, as well as the Central Minutes, you can listen to them on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. And now, the Central Message.
Well, as you know, maybe you've noticed, I am growing out a beard. And it is No Shave November. And so, right? No? No? It is No Shave November, right? So I'm going to grow this beard out, and one of my old-time goals in life is to be like Tim. So one of these days, you're going to come in, and it's going to be like this great big, you know, bushy beard. So I'm excited because I love No Shave November because we make donations to different charitable organizations just by our sheriff allowing us to grow a beard. And so, but this time, they've extended it all the way through March. So I get to hold on to this thing all the way through March. So I think it's going to take me a couple years to get to Tim status, you know, but I'm working on it. So, but you know, thanks for being here, Central Park. It's great to be with you again today and being part of this. You know, the other day, Jan, like I said, she was in Arkansas traveling, and she came back home on Thursday, and she told me, she says, I really don't feel well. So I said, we had family coming in this weekend. So I said, don't worry, honey, I'll take care of everything. And that included going grocery shopping. Yeah. So I went to Meijer. It went well until I went to check out and I realized it was almost $400. You know, you never send somebody who doesn't go grocery shopping normally to the store. I mean, it just doesn't work out well. So I'm like, man, what did I do? And so then I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of hungry. So loaded everything up and then went to Popeye's chicken. Anyone ever have the Popeye's chicken sandwich? It's pretty good. Anyone have the spicy chicken sandwich? Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. So here I am. I'm in my truck. I've got groceries on one side, I've got a Popeye's chicken sandwich on the console, I've got a drink, and I'm on the phone driving. I'm multitasking, right? So I called Dustin and talking to him about my experience at Meijer and how Jan's going to literally kill me when I get home with all these groceries. And so you know, I'm eating this spicy chicken sandwich. Don't do this. Okay. Facebook viewers, do not try this at home. Okay. So I'm driving with a knee, got a cell phone, and I'm not even really paying attention. So I'm driving. I know it's bad. I get it. I repented later. Okay. So I really wasn't really thinking about what I was doing in that moment. I was just multitasking. I was driving, eating a chicken sandwich, and talking to Dustin. So until the moment that I had finished my sandwich and I wiped my eyes. I had rubbed one of my eyes and I had the spicy sauce from the chicken sandwich, I guess, on my fingers, and I started to cry. It burnt so bad. It felt like I had a demon in my eye. Okay. It was horrible. And so here I am now. I'm trying to take a drink. I'm holding my cell phone, talking to Dustin. I'm crying and driving, and now I can't see. And I have contact lenses in. Okay? I think I'm talking to Dustin. Dustin's laughing at me. He's laughing at me. And I'm like, Dustin, I can't see. I'm crying. I'm talking. And finally, I just hung up the phone and to the sound of Dustin just laughing out loud at me. And so I hang up the phone, I put it down. Should never have been driving on my cell phone, I was. So here I am, I'm just tears, and I'm trying to get on 74 to get back to Indiana. And so I finally set everything down, get my eyes cleaned out, and I can see again. But that was the most horrific feeling ever, right? When you're trying to multitask and you're trying to do all of these things and you're not really focusing in on the primary task at hand, which was what? Driving. That's right. So maybe God was teaching me a lesson. Amen. Yeah. So thank you. So I learned a very valuable lesson, and it was a painful one. And so in Mark chapter 5, we see this multitasking situation develop. And Mark chapter 5 is one of my favorite chapters, and it deals with Jesus healing a man with a demon possession. And so he is struggling with this, and so he gets out of the boat, he comes up to the side of the sea in the country of Gerasenes, and when he steps out of the boat, he's confronted by this young man who has been living for years with this problem, with this possession. And so out of the tombs, which here he is, here's a man, a living person, living with the dead. The living person was forced, because of his actions and the continual struggles of his life, to live amongst the dead. The living amongst the dead. So here he is, and he confronts Jesus. And he says he's living amongst the tombs. No one could contain him, not even with chains. He had been bound by shackles. He had ripped those apart. He had been cutting himself. He was yelling and carrying on. And all of these things were happening in his life. And he says, I could break the shackles and the cuffs. He says, that's the physical part. He says, the emotional part is the pain of being possessed. He says the pain of cutting, which is physical and emotional. And by the way, if you've ever heard of cutting, it is still huge in our culture, and it is a physical and emotional issue. It is not one or the other, it is both. And this is the very first recorded issue of cutting in the world, in Mark chapter 5. And so there's this emotional pain of not being accepted, and this emotional pain of his own activities, and he's hated by those around him, and he's struggling emotionally and physically, and he's living in this multitasking world of trying to get better, trying to live within this physical pain and this emotional pain, and he's seeking some help. Pretty simple, right? And so in verse 5, I believe it is, he says, night and day amongst the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus, he ran to him and he fell down before him. He's crying out with this loud voice, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. So here's the interesting question that I've struggled with in my life, in my study of Mark chapter 5. Why? Why would this demon-possessed man run to Jesus? Here he has all of this struggle within him, and the controlling parts of him still run to the one place that can help him. Stop living amongst the dead. Stop living amongst that emotional pain and that physical pain. How did he manage to do that? And here's the answer that I've come up with. We all have that same ability. That even in the most difficult, physical, painful moments of your life, even in the deepest emotional struggles and pain, when you're multitasking with issues of life and you're struggling with that, there's still that small voice within you that says Jesus Christ is the answer. Only Jesus Christ can take me from this, that He can remove that physical and emotional pain in my life, that He can change my life. How many of you want a normal life? Pretty much everybody. What is normal? See, that's the question, isn't it? What truly is a normal life? What are we talking about when we say normal? What are we really talking about when we say a normal life? We want a pain-free, emotionally stable life. That's what we're talking about, a normal life. We all have those high hopes of one day being a millionaire, right? Is that logical? No. Yeah, for some, you know, I don't know. I see this as the point of the story, that sin, that pain, that physical or emotional, the shackles of this life are no match for Jesus. And that's what He's telling us in this moment, that everything that we've faced, everything we've gone through, all of the mess of this life is no match for Jesus. So what I ask you very simply is this. The point of the story is that no matter what you've been through, no matter how much sin, how much pain, the story, doesn't matter how strong those chains and those shackles of this life are, you can be set free today. And the only way that that happens is through recognition of who Jesus Christ is and how much He loves you and how much He wants to transform your life. If you'll just let Him. And maybe one of these days we'll stop multitasking. Maybe one of these days we'll stop living on that edge of between that physical pain and that emotional pain and living with both struggles in our life and allow Jesus Christ to take those from us. At the end of this story, and most of you probably already know the ending of the story, and in Mark chapter 5, verse 12, he recognizes that the possession is going to be removed, and he says, please don't destroy me. He says, by the way, there's some pigs on the hill. You can cast me into those. And then the pigs run off the hill and it kills everybody, right? It kills them all. And so Jesus is standing there with this guy that he's just freed from that emotional pain and that physical pain. And he's standing there and the guy says, hey, how about I go with you and I stay with you? And what does Jesus tell him? Jesus says, I'm not going to permit him, but said this to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you. See, that's the calling that was laid upon this young man's life in this moment. And what did the young man do? He went home. He went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone was marveled at what had happened and the transformation that had taken place in this guy's life. So I'm going to ask you a question. What does Decapolis mean? 10 cities, exactly. It literally means 10 cities. So I want you to think about what Jesus Christ has done for you by showing you grace and mercy and how He has healed your life of that emotional or physical pain and the struggles that you face every day. I want you to think about all of those things that Jesus has done for you And are you following that advice? Go home and tell your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. Are you talking to people about your faith and how Christ has had mercy on you? Are you talking to people in your Decapolis? So what is your Decapolis? For me, it's different for everyone. Think of 10 cities around you. Maybe 10 cities where you have friends or family living, or 10 cities. I know our communities are different now with Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all of those things online, Snapchats and all of these things. So think of your Decapolis and what that would be. And that is where you're supposed to go and take that message of hope and faith and forgiveness to the world. So for me, just for example, Tilton, Georgetown, Danville, Cayuga, Covington, Perrysville, Catlin, Westville, Belgium, Eugene. All of those areas. Maybe some of yours overlap. 10 cities where you have an opportunity to change the lives of people around you. Are you tired of the shackles? Are you tired of the chains? Are you tired of living that emotional pain, of that not being accepted, maybe confused by life, that emotional pain of our own actions? I had a person tell me the other day that they hated themselves. He said, "I hate myself." And I sat down with him and I said, "Why?" He says, "Because I can't change. I can't get past all of that pain and all of that struggle. I keep talking about it. I keep thinking about it. I keep bringing it back." And he said, "Just for some reason, I can't get past it." And I said this. Maybe that's what you're supposed to do in this moment. He says, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, maybe you're supposed to hate yourself." He's like, "Well, I don't want to hate myself." I said, "Then why do you?" And he said, "Honestly, I don't know." And I sat down and I was able to talk with him and pray with him and lead him not just to the church, but lead him towards faith. And God, and building that journey of faith for him. To where he doesn't have to hate himself. He said it was his own actions and the consequences of his actions. I said, "I can't tell you what the consequences will be for your own actions. Legally, there's going to be some ramifications. But you can be set free from that physical pain and that emotional pain that exists in your life." Maybe you're here this morning and you're recognizing that it's time today to break the chains of that physical pain. Whether it's some sort of cutting or yelling and crying out, breaking the shackles and the cuffs, maybe it's time for you to stop living amongst the dead. And here's how we do that. It's by simply crying out to Jesus Christ and asking him to forgive us. Maybe you're here today and you're recognizing that emotional pain that has held you down for so long. It feels like you're living the life of someone else. Someone that you don't want to be. Someone you don't want to have to deal with and struggle with every day just to get out of bed. Maybe you're here today and you say, "This is my moment to be free of that emotional struggle of life and that pain of my own actions." Jesus is waiting. See, the interesting part of Mark chapter 5 is this to me. And we're going to close with this. Mark chapter 5, the interesting part is this. That here's a man who was so violent that he had been forced to live among the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, that represents us today, living amongst the dead. Because if you don't have Jesus, if you don't know that grace and that mercy that is given to you only through the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then you today are the dead. And we, as Christians, who recognize that grace and mercy and have accepted that and asked for forgiveness, are the living amongst the dead. Perhaps today, it's about you moving from death to life. Perhaps today it's about you simply saying, the shackles of this life can hold me no longer. The struggles of my pain, I'm going to let them go. I'm not going to talk about them. I'm not going to live in them any longer. I'm going to move forward with my life. I'm going to allow Jesus Christ to transform me by the renewing of my mind, transform me, change me. I'm going to give everything to him today. Maybe it's about that opportunity for you to simply say, Jesus, what's my normal? What is my normal? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your mercy and your grace that changes us and transforms us. Father, we are so mindful today of those who are struggling with that physical pain, that emotional pain, and that the way that we multitask too often in life. And then we get in trouble, and we feel that. Forgive us when we fail you. Forgive us of our sins, Father. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. Today we ask that you come in and change us. You come into our lives by your grace and your mercy, and you show us what you have done, and you change that for us. You take that emotional pain. You take that physical pain. You remove that from us, Lord, and you break the shackles of sin and pain and struggle in our lives. But Father, also maybe today it's about us recognizing what you have already done for us and that grace that has been applied and that mercy that you show us each and every day. And that we take that back to our Decapolis, that we take it back to our cities, that we have influence and we live a life worthy of the calling that you have placed on us. And it's all for your glory. Father, we know that many are here today and watching live and that they need prayers. They have requests that you've laid upon their hearts. And Father, we honor that today. We ask your presence in their lives, that you be changing and transforming. Even as we speak, that you're already providing answers for whatever their need might be. Father, walk with us this week. Direct our feet, guide us by your Spirit, and help us to show that grace and mercy to those around us. In Christ's name.
Thank you for listening to our message today. If you have heard anything in this message that spoke to your heart, please don't let this moment pass. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is an important decision, and I don't want an opportunity to pass for someone to come to God in need and to have all those needs met and sins forgiven. If you would like to accept Jesus into your heart today, you can do so right now. If you have chosen to follow Jesus today, it is important to be connected with fellow Christians in a real and personal way and to publicly profess your faith through baptism. If you don't have a church home, you are welcome to become part of the Central Park Church of Christ family. You may want to find a local congregation closer to your home. But whatever you do, find a place where you can learn and be spiritually nourished and where you can serve others. If you would like to speak to a minister, please contact the minister of your local church or call Central Park Church of Christ to speak to one of our ministers. Call the church office at 217-446-8947 and leave a message. Thank you for listening to the Central Message.